I looked up to see the biggest, hairiest, ugliest gorilla I had ever seen bearing down on me. I was unarmed and armorless, but I still had a supercomputer wired to my brain.
All right, send as much energy as you can to my left leg.
Sure.
The gorilla reached down for me just as I kicked up, right between his legs. The force of the blow lifted him off the ground. He doubled over in pain. I shot up and headed toward my room. I may have gotten in one lucky kick, but I knew I needed my weapons. Reaching the bedroom, I saw two other apes rifling through my stuff.
Headcack!
The two apes saw me and charged. Suddenly, they froze in mid-punch.
What?
You can thank me later.
I turned, and there was Elena.
I thank you now.
At that moment, I realized something very important. I was stark naked. I put my hands in front of my personals, walked over to the bed, grabbed a sheet, and wrapped it around me.
Why'd you come back?
Elena raised her right hand and squeezed it tightly. I fell to the ground, doubling over. The harder she squeezed, the more pain rushed through my body. Elena walked over and knelt down beside me.
I'm the one who will be asking the questions.
Fine!
Why did you stop me from killing Sputnik?
I tried to answer. I wanted to answer. The pain made it too hard to think, much less talk. Elena touched my shoulder. The pain stopped. I felt better than ever before.
Talk now.
Looking up, I was so grateful to her for stopping the pain, I forgot to be angry with her for causing it. Gates, this woman was good.
We can't be sure Sputnik is guilty.
Harv, I could really use some help here.
Your computer can't help you now, Zachary. I've learned how to control him through you.
Well, that sucks.
It is good, Zachary. Now your mind is totally free. By the way, it wasn't your smell that knocked Carol out cold. Well, it was the smell, but that was because I gave her the suggestion that if she got a whiff of you, she'd pass out. I also planted the suggestion into Harv as to the cause.
You wanted me out of my armor.
I wanted to make sure you were separated from your armor and fancy weapon. You hurt me on the shuttle and then at the port. I needed to make sure you didn't get a chance to hurt me again. Sorry about the apes. Didn't know they'd be after you, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm in constant demand.
I am going to act as the facilitator to help you reach the truth.
I am telling the truth. Just read my mind.
I tried, but your mind is so scrambled, I'm not sure you yourself know the truth.
Facilitator or judge, jury, and executioner?
I don't need to kill you. If I did, you'd be a pile of ashes now. I'll just revert you to a baby, or make you think you're a potted plant forever.
Thanks, you're all...
She had swiped her finger slowly across my throat.
You will only speak when I tell you to. Why did you save Sputnik? I can feel that you despise him. Oops, sorry.
She waved her hand over me.
You may talk now.
I'm not sure he's guilty yet. You said you'd give me more time.
I changed my mind. I saw Sputnik standing there hogging all the attention. I snapped. Anyhow, why delay the inevitable? Like I said, I'm sure he's a guilty, rotten spam ball.
Yeah, but I need proof. Besides, if you do start acting on your own, they're gonna hunt you down. Doesn't matter how powerful you are, they'll eventually get you.
I can fight them all. I can...
You can what? Enslave them all?
It's rude to interrupt. I do not wish to be the ruler of the moon or the earth. Though I can see worse possible rulers.
Besides, I'm sure Sputnik is guilty of some crimes. Doss, what politician isn't? I still don't know the big picture here. Was he responsible for the council killings? Did he act alone?
He couldn't have acted alone. He never does anything himself.
That's why if you kill him now, we might not ever learn who really killed the World Council members and what their goals were.
Good point.
Thanks, I try. There's something else big going on here. I need to find out what and stop it.
Of course, you gave me another idea. Perhaps I should work on increasing my own power. Make everybody love everybody.
I don't think that's such a hot idea either.
Why not?
Because then I'd have to stop you too. You don't want that.
Zach, you caught me off guard twice. It won't happen again.
I wouldn't count on that, bitch.
Carol hit Elena with an uppercut to the chin.
That's for making me rub your feet!
Carol glared at Elena, sending her crashing into the ceiling at breakneck speed.
That's for making me sniff my uncle's armpits!
Carol moved her head to the left, sending Elena smashing into the left wall. The force of the blow left a dent in the wall. Carol moved her head to the right, and Elena went flying headfirst into the right wall. This one drew blood.
Carol glared at Elena, keeping her pinned to the wall.
Let's see how good you do when you don't have me off guard, bitch.
Carol, don't kill her.
Why not?
She could have killed us and she didn't. Carol released her mental grip.
Oh.
Elena slid down the wall, leaving a blood trail.
Mm.
She pushed herself up. She turned toward Carol and me.
You are so lucky I'm still weak from stopping time.
You can't begin to imagine the number of times I've heard that.
You've heard that before?
What did I miss? Doss, I missed a lot. Oh, by the way, Zach, you're naked.
Good point. And grab your weapon. We need to hold Elena until Bo and the others arrive.
I grabbed the cover I'd been using and wrapped it around myself. Gus, report.
I'm over here.
I walked over and grabbed him. I pointed him at Elena. If she tries to do anything, blast her.
With pleasure.
Do you have her now?
She's locked in.
Great.
Elena smiled and wiped some blood off from her nose.
Even when I'm weak and not doing anything, I'm doing something. You both passed the test.
What test? I hate tests. Except trivia tests. I find those kind of fun.
I was just seeing if you might possibly have a chance of stopping Sputnik.
She took a step forward, then stopped. She heard something. I listened. I heard it too. There were a number of people in the main room.
Spam!
She disappeared. A split nano later, Sputnik, Leia, Melda, two other blue-haired women, and 10 heavily armored apes poured into the room.
Is everybody okay?
Fine now. Melda and Leia surveyed the damage. Melda walked up to me.
Sorry about our gorillas there, Mr. Johnson. They were younger ones, and they tend to get carried away in trying to impress their superiors.
You've lost me.
The gorillas on the moon have a hierarchical system. You have to do something impressive to move up in it. When security learned that you would be here, the less senior members thought this could be how they make their name, beating up Zach Johnson. Apparently, security personnel all over the known world know of you.
Nice to know my reputation precedes me.
Yeah, I bet there are security people on Mars already taking odds on who takes you out.
Amazing, it is true. You do have an incredible knack for survival.
I do, but Elena helped.
Elena?
Yeah, she was here too. She actually took out two of the apes.
What did she want with you?
Near as I can tell, to kill me. She blames me for saving Sputnik.
Yes, I do pick up my cousin's scent here. I should have noticed sooner.
Elena is a tricky one. Don't blame yourself, my daughter.
Leia wasn't paying attention. She was locked in on me.
You battled my cousin and lived to tell about it?
Well, Carol and Harv helped.
He'd have been dead years ago without us.
Ditto.
Despite Harv's and Carol's comments, Leia was impressed. She looked at me as if I was some sort of rock star or still a media darling. I looked at Sputnik, looking at his daughter, looking at me. His face was still smiling, but his eyes weren't. He was trying not to show his displeasure, but his pupils constricted to pin size, disappearing into the gray of his iris, giving away his true feelings. He was used to being the only human alpha male around. Leia took my hand.
You have to tell me how you stood up to my cousin. I'm one of the most powerful Psis on the moon, and therefore one of the most powerful in existence. Yet when Elena is angry, she scares the moon dust out of me. She's dangerous, Zach.
I looked past Leia to Sputnik. So, I repeat my question from earlier. Why did you let her roam free? Sputnik shrugged, his pupils returning to normal size.
Until today, she had committed no crimes. You may imprison innocent people on Earth, but we don't work that way on the moon.
We did know she had issues. We offered her special therapy. That's why she went to Earth. She trusted Desma.
I know she has some strange thoughts racing through her amazingly powerful mind, but until today, I never really thought she'd hurt me.
I didn't doubt him. Sputnik was the type of man who was so in love with himself he couldn't begin to fathom that perhaps not everybody else in the universe shared his feelings. I was actually glad I'd be touring with him and Leia today. It'd give me a chance to feel them out. Leia released my hand and turned to Sputnik.
Father, I wouldn't be at all surprised now if Elena was behind those awful killings on Earth.
Now, dear daughter, let's not raise pointless accusations. The authorities on Earth have a suspect in prison. Mooners, even the ultra-mega-mega-omega crazy ones, do not kill innocent people.
What if some mooner didn't think the council members were innocent? Then they might be quite willing to kill. Leia took a step back from me physically, but reached into my mind mentally.
Please, Zach, don't go there.
Whoa, Tio, slow it down! We're on their turf, way outnumbered!
Are you completely wacko? No wonder everybody wants to kill you.
Just tossing out a hypothetical idea. It's my job to cover all the angles.
Yes, that is your job, when you're working. Only you're not on a job now. You are here to visit your girlfriend, Electra, tomorrow, when she has some free time. Now you're going on a nifty tour of the moon. Trust me, Zachary, you will really enjoy the tour and seeing what a wonderful place the moon is.
I returned her smile. I trusted her. I was going to really enjoy this tour. Though I wasn't sure why I needed the tour, as I already knew what a wonderful place the moon was. Maybe I'd see if I could summer there.
What the doss are you thinking?
Surely you can do some thinking on your own. Carol, without us, he'd be cleaning Leia's toes with his tongue right now.
Gross. But true.
Poor Zach.
Gus?
Yep, I'm using Harv's interface.
Hey, everybody stay out of my brain. There's barely enough room in here for Harv and me.
How very true. Why couldn't Dr. Paul have inserted me into Stephen Hawking's clone's brain?
Zach, are you okay?
Perhaps Mr. Johnson would like the tour on another day?
The moon does have slightly less gravity and less nitrogen than Earth. Some people react oddly.
And he has fought with three ambitious security apes and with Elena. If you want to delay, we understand.
Believe me, angry apes and crazy sighs are just an average day for me. It's going to take a lot more than that to keep me off the tour.
In that case, let us begin the tour before somebody or something else attacks Mr. Johnson.
Probably a good idea.
Let's go, my friend. I'm sure you'll see what a wonderful, love-filled place of science and wonder the moon is.
We exited the hotel and split into two groups. Carol and Melda went one way in a cute little bright orange two-seat domed car. A car so small, it looked like they could pedal it. On the other end of the spectrum, our vehicle was a long and sleek red stretch carriage all-element hover. Besides myself, my group consisted of Sputnik, Leia, an ape driver, another ape riding shotgun, two more additional ape security men, and two young, tall, light blue-haired Asian-looking girls named Windy and April. For a guy who claimed to rule a love-filled world, Sputnik traveled with a lot of security. As we drove through the sparkling clean streets of the moon, Sputnik lectured about this and that, how, due to its controlled environment, the moon was much more sterile than the Earth. I couldn't argue. The entire place looked and felt as if it was constantly being washed and waxed. Of course, it should look clean. Most of the buildings were less than 20 years old. While Sputnik droned on about the virtues of the moon, I took in the sights, confident that Harv was getting down any information I might need. The first thing that stood out was that the streets weren't nearly as crowded and as congested as your average big Earth city streets. Sure, there were people moving all about, but they certainly were able to keep ample space between them. The general moon populace seemed slimmer and trimmer than the general Earth populace. Even without the blue or blue-streaked hair, it would have been easy for my trained eye to separate your average mooner from the average Earther. They just carried themselves differently. The streets also seemed much more open than Earth streets. All the vehicles on the roads, except ours, were small, 1-3-person transportation devices. They looked like boxes on wheels with little domes over them. Apparently, this was because on the moon, only a very select few have their own vehicles for transportation. Most of the populace shared interchangeable vehicles, IVs for short. One car type fits all. The moon owned a fleet of compact, very boring cars that only varied by a user-programmable color. The vehicle we were riding in was a horse of a completely different color. It was huge and stuck out like a queen at a roller derby match. Our vehicle looked like one of those old horse-drawn carriages, without the horses. I was surprised that Sputnik didn't attach a couple of robot steeds. The carriage had four rows of seats. The ape driver and his lookout ape sat in the first row of two cockpit-like seats. I was seated in the second row with Leia on my left and Sputnik on my right. The seats were so big and wide, there was easily room for three more of us in that row. The third row was also wide. Windy and April were so slender, they looked lost sitting there by themselves. Bringing up the back were the other two ape security guards. They were big and bulky, even by gorilla terms. The sad thing was the back row only had a quarter of the room the second and third rows did. I've seen canned sardines with more personal space. The apes didn't seem to mind too much, though truthfully it was a bit hard to tell since they had their eyes covered with sunglasses. I didn't bother to point out to them that we were on the moon in a controlled environment. I knew they knew this. I'm smart enough to understand that when the spam hits the fan, you want the big apes with big guns on your side. You don't go busting them about their strange choice in eyewear. Besides, it gave them a cool and aloof security dude kind of look.
You're thinking about the apes in sunglasses, aren't you?
No. Okay, maybe.
Those aren't normal glasses. They are actually communication devices, specially enhanced Baha'i pods behind the earpieces that hold the glasses on. The apes are constantly receiving feedback from all over the moon.
Why?
To keep Sputnik safe.
Are you okay, Zachary?
Fine. Leia leaned over toward me.
I think it's silly that the apes wear shades too. Don't know why they can't wear regular Pahai pods.
I wasn't sure what to make of Leia. Was that a warning? Was she actually agreeing with me? Could she pick through my mind that easily? Or was it just a lucky guess? I guessed, the time would tell. The tour continued. We drove past a tall glass building that was the Moon Science and Learning Center. We didn't go into the building, as Sputnik said the scientists and researchers employed there were far too busy advancing technology and finding cures for diseases that didn't even exist yet to be bothered by a tour. He pointed out that that was one of the advantages scientists on the Moon had. They were automatically well-funded, so they didn't have to kowtow and bend over backward to politicians and businesses begging for research money. Next, we drove through the Moon's Art and Culture Museum. And when I say we drove through, I mean literally drove through. The museum was a drive-thru, which, according to Sputnik, revolutionized the museum experience, as patrons no longer had to get out of their vehicles to appreciate the art. The artists were happier, as not only did more people get to see their work, but since the people were all in vehicles, that meant there would be much less touching of their work. The art, for the most part, except for the cheese sculptures, wasn't all that different from what I remembered seeing the last time I ventured to an Earth-based museum. Leaving the museum, Sputnik nudged me in the ribs with his elbow.
So, Zach, what do you think of our lovely moon so far?
Well, I haven't fallen asleep, so that's a good sign.
You really are as witty as Melda said.
Really? We had such little contact back on Earth. Usually it takes people more time to truly appreciate my sense of humor.
Tell me about it. I've been with Zach for over 7 years now, and I'm just barely able to comprehend his so-called wit.
Out of all my special wives, Melda is the most special. She is much more perceptive than the average human.
All your wives?
Yes. Surely you understand we here on the Moon have more open views on marriage than most of Earth.
How many wives do you have?
Oh, I don't count them.
7.
Apparently others do count them.
Well, I love each and every one of them.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I can't expect an Earther to understand.
He leaned over the seat and tapped the driver on the shoulder. The ape driver turned back to see what Sputnik wanted. Sputnik pointed at a fairly large dome-shaped building dominating the end of the street.
Pull over by the tracking and blocking station. Let's show Mr. Johnson why the moon is so important.
The ape nodded and did as he was told. We drove up and parked in the large courtyard surrounding the unassuming-looking building. It reminded me of an indoor tennis court. Sputnik jumped out of the car first. He looked at me.
Come on, Mr. Johnson. Let me show you our pride and joy.
The building itself was one large room with a series of control panels running along the walls. The domed ceiling acted as a holographic planetarium and was dotted with stars. Working away like busy little blue-haired beavers were a blue-haired woman in her mid-40s, a young blue-haired man, and 4 smaller primates, which I quickly figured out were orangutans. Humans and primates were all wearing bright yellow outfits that looked like a mix of jumpsuits and lab coats.
No need to worry, everyone. I'm just showing Mr. Johnson here the moon's pride and joy.
This is the moon's asteroid tracking and blocking station.
Yeah, kind of figured that out.
Zach, I'm sure you know what this place is.
See? Sputnik trusts my intelligence.
He doesn't know you that well.
It's the moon's asteroid tracking and blocking station.
Yes, the MAT and BS. This is the most important building to Earth, and it's here on the moon. We keep Earth safe from nasty asteroids.
And we all appreciate it. Sputnik looked me dead in the eyes.
Do you, Mr. Johnson? Do you?
He pointed upward to the dome. In the midst of all the stars and satellites was one giant dot.
Do you see that?
I nodded.
That is asteroid Zeta Alpha Pi. It is 12 kilometers long by 9 kilometers wide. It will pass by Earth tomorrow at noon Eastern time, missing it by only 10,000 kilometers.
One of the orangutans pushed a control panel with his or her foot. A simulated path lit up on the dome. It showed the big rock spinning past Earth. Huh. Close call.
Yes. But say it wasn't going to miss. Say its path was a mere 1 degree different.
The orangutan maneuvered his or her foot over the pad. The simulated path reversed, then disappeared from the ceiling. The big rock changed course, dropping down, putting it on a direct collision course with the Earth.
If a rock this size were to strike your planet, it would hit with more power than a blast from all the nuclear bombs currently on Earth. Do you know what that means, Mr. Johnson? It would destroy life on Earth as you know it. But thanks to us here on the moon, that won't happen. Because of our moon-based deflector ray, we can gently push any Earth killers into a different trajectory.
I looked up at the dome. It showed a beam of energy emanating from the moon, then hitting the incoming asteroid. The asteroid changed course and once again glided past the Earth.
Of course, this is only a simulation to depict what happens. In real life, it's not so fast.
Yeah, I kind of got that.
So, you see, Mr. Johnson, we saved Earth.
Well, you saved Earth from an asteroid that wasn't really going to hit Earth.
My point is, if it was going to hit, we wouldn't have let it. We are constantly patrolling the skies, tracking thousands of objects.
And again, we thank you. Well, not really you, I guess, but the people who work here.
Those who work here at my pleasure.
I'm sure. The point is, the asteroid was going to miss Earth. But believe me, we on Earth are grateful that you've got our backs.
Are you, Mr. Johnson?
Sure. If you want, I can have everyone send you a thank you card.
Way to taunt your host.
Harv was right. I was taunting. Well, more like testing. I needed to see what Sputnik was made of, what made him tick. I wanted to gauge how easily he was thrown off his game, how seriously he took himself.
You're a wise one, Mr. Johnson. You want to see how I will react.
I put my hands up in the universal, I don't really know, position. He was on to me, but I wasn't going to let him know that.
Just letting you know that we appreciate the work the people of the moon do, even if we don't always say it.
He put his arm around me. Frankly, it made me uncomfortable, but I was on his turf, so I gave him a little leeway.
Come, let us continue our tour of the moon.
Just curious, where's the actual deflector beam located?
It's outside, in the native area. You should see it. To the native area.
The driver gave him a polite salute. An instant later, the carriage was lifting off the ground. We rose higher and higher toward the top of the protective dome.
Where are we going?
To show you what the people of Earth think of the moon.
As we rose higher and higher, I noticed that the upper portions of the dome encompassing the city had wide openings. These openings led to long, wide pressurized tubes, kind of like circular see-through tunnels. As we entered one of the tubes, the protective dome rose from the back of our carriage, closing on top of us.
We will be leaving the controlled environment in 2 minutes. In case of emergency, you have a rapid deployment moon suit under your seat.
Yep. We even have a couple of lawyers here on the moon.
So it's not the perfect society. Sputnik didn't reply, but I could have sworn I noticed him grin ever so slightly. Bursting out of the tube, our vehicle started gliding high above the lunar surface. The bumpy, rocky terrain was a stark contrast to the green, clean inner city. Honestly, I wasn't sure which one I preferred. Sure, I couldn't breathe out here, but the area still had a cold, natural look that appealed to me. I was right. I do have a weird side.
First, Mr. Johnson, I showed you what we here on the moon think of our home. It's an oasis for science, art, and thinking. Now, I'm going to show you what Earth thinks of our home.
Father, Mr. Johnson doesn't enjoy heights. Perhaps you should ask the driver to go lower.
Is this true? A big, macho man like you, a hero, scared of heights?
Scared may be too strong a word.
If you want, I can help you get over your fear. My sisters and I are all therapists. I can help you.
That's okay. I like my vulnerabilities. They add to my charm.
True.
Ugh, get me.
Looking at Sputnik, he had about the same reaction as Harv, only he was trying hard not to let on. He wasn't thrilled with the idea of his daughter paying so much attention to me. I wasn't sure if it was because I was from Earth or because I wasn't him. Whatever the case, Sputnik wasn't happy, and for some reason, that made me happy. He wasn't the biggest scumbag I dealt with in my career. Doss, he probably wasn't even in the top 10. Despite that, I didn't trust him or like him. Now I just had to figure out if that was because of an innate distrust of politicians and bureaucrats or something more sinister. If history held a form, it'd be a combination of both. Anxious to get my attention back on track, Sputnik pointed off in the distance.
That, Mr. Johnson, is how most of Earth thinks of the moon.
We were kilometers away from the object of Sputnik's scorn, yet I plainly saw it coming into view. It was a giant mound of toxic waste-holding barrels.
Why do you light it up?
It glows on its own a little, but we light it so we never forget what Earth really thinks of us.
Oh.
We charge the lighting fee back to the World Council.
We call it a maintenance fee.
Sputnik looked over at April and Windy.
Glad to know you girls find pleasure in the Earth using us as their garbage dump.
Sorry, Daddy.
We're just making the best of a bad situation.
Besides, it's toxic waste, not garbage. Earth has been recycling its garbage for decades now.
We closed in on that mountain of toxic waste. It was a monument to something. I just wasn't sure what. It towered over every other structure on the moon. Blue barrel piled on top of blue barrel.
Earth could recycle their toxic waste if they wanted. They just deemed the process non-cost effective.
It sounds like something the World Council would come up with.
Whose side are you on?
My own.
The point is, Earth treats us like toxic waste.
Oh, please. You're an administrator. You of all people should appreciate trying to save a few billion credits.
With all due respect, Mr. Harv, you aren't even human.
Silly human. You don't have to be a fish in a tank to know what a fish in a tank is feeling.
Please. She is more than human. She and her sisters and the occasional brother are the next steps in human evolution.
Perhaps. But there's still a couple of rungs down the evolutionary ladder from me.
You have to forgive Harv. He doesn't always play well with others.
Oh, you only need to play well with others if you need those others to cooperate with you. I have no need of that.
Harv, what the doss are you trying to do here? You're acting more antagonistic than normal.
True. Might be something about the moon's atmosphere that alters my chip circuits. I kind of like it.
Yeah, but you're gonna get me launched into space.
And that is bad because...
Harv, if I get killed, you probably won't have another human brain to bond with for a long time.
I'll try to behave.
I decided to try to force the topic of conversation back to something more useful, or at the very least, less damaging. I thought you were going to show me where the deflector beam is based.
Sorry, that's classified.
Then why did you bring it up?
Mr. Johnson, if I told you I wanted to bring you out to the surface of the moon to show you toxic waste, I think you would have put up much more of a fuss.
He was right. Mounds and mounds of toxic waste wasn't high on my must-see list under the best of circumstances. Flying above it on the dark side of the moon made it even less appealing. It wasn't hard to notice that the vehicle had stopped moving forward. Sputnik reached over and slapped the ape driver's shoulder.
What's going on?
The ape just shrugged, taking both hands off the steering wheel.
Hold on to the wheel, fool!
The ape made some hand movements.
What do you mean you're not controlling the craft?
At that point, the craft lurched forward and started twisting its way toward the moon's surface at about a 90-degree angle.
Warning, rapid descent noticed. Please activate your moon surface suits.
I felt under my seat. My hand found a button.
Just position your feet in the glowing foot pads, then activate the button under your seat. The suits will do the rest.
I did as directed. I placed my feet on the foot-shaped patterns on the floor that I hadn't noticed before. It wasn't easy as our craft was quickly spiraling toward the ground. Reaching under my seat, I pressed the first button my finger felt. A skin-tight coating started wrapping itself up my body.
Wow, cool use of intelligent nanofabrics.
Sputnik couldn't have been glowing more if he'd swallowed some of that toxic waste down below us, though unfortunately no longer that far below us.
Invented by moon scientists! They apply quickly and let us survive on the surface of the moon for 30 minutes, more than ample time for rescue teams to find us.
Well, that's just great! All we have to do is survive the impending crash.
I suggest we all buckle in. The ride down is going to be rough.
Looking out over the side of the vehicle, I could see the lunar surface spinning closer and closer to us. Actually, we were the ones spinning and getting nearer to the surface, but it sounds so much more dramatic the other way around. Boy, was this going to be ugly. Despite the best efforts of the driver and the size on board, our craft hadn't slowed down nearly enough to enable us to survive a crash. Out of the corner of my eye, I spotted something. No, it was somebody. Some very shapely body.
Harv, do you see what I think I see?
Harv zoomed in on the image. There, standing defiantly on the surface, fists and head raised to the sky, was Elena. She was wearing a short purple dress accented by purple high heels. Her hair was also now tinted purple. I didn't know if this was a good sign or a bad one. I was pretty certain that Elena was mentally pulling our vehicle to the ground, which meant we weren't going to crash unless she wanted us to crash. Of course, that didn't mean we weren't all going to die. Leia noticed Elena before I had a chance to point her out to the others.
Elena is here! She is the one behind this!
That bitch! This is not sisterly at all.
Neither is calling her a bitch.
She just has issues. You gotta admit, she has a sub-zero sense of style.
I do love those pumps she's wearing.
If one Psy is pulling us to the ground, why can't three Psys push us away?
Normally we could, only Daddy's personalized vehicle is equipped with internal Psy dampers. Our powers are very restricted while we are in here, much too restricted to counteract Elena.
I looked at Sputnik.
Hey, a man with seven mind-reading wives can never be too careful.
All we could do now is ride out the rest of the trip to the surface, hoping it wasn't Elena's intent to crash us. We were picking up more and more speed the closer we came. It was starting to look very much like Elena did plan on crashing us.
Interesting.
What?
Computing our current direction, velocity, and altitude, we appear to be heading to crash directly into Elena.
So what, this is some kind of weird murder-suicide?
No, that doesn't match Elena's psych profile.
Psych profiles can be wrong, you know.
Let's hope it's not.
We were now so close to the ground that I clearly saw Elena standing just hundreds of meters directly below us. Racing closer and closer to the ground, we all braced for impact. The girls closed their eyes. I had to watch. If this was going to be it, I wanted to see it coming. If this wasn't going to be it, I needed to see what Elena was going to do. Elena held up a finger. My craft came to a jarring halt less than a centimeter before it would have crashed first into Elena and then into the ground. Elena spun her finger around. My craft turned upright. The dome covering the craft popped open. A split nano later, our seatbelts all released. The eight of us tumbled to the ground. Now, I've hit the ground a lot in my career. This one didn't hurt as much as I thought it would. I wasn't sure if that was because of the dust on the surface of the moon, our moon suits, the lower gravity levels on the moon, or because Elena cushioned our falls. I figured it was the latter. Apparently, she didn't want to kill us. At least not yet. She flicked her hand. The craft went flying off into space. If Elena had wanted to kill us outright, we would have all been pushing up moon daisies by then. She stood over us all.
You're probably wondering why I called you all here today.
She concentrated on Sputnik and his girls.
Now, Uncle, let's talk.
Elena wasn't paying any attention to me. This was my chance to take her out. I took aim with my gun and squeezed the trigger. I squeezed again.
Gus won't fire.
Why won't Gus fire?
I do not believe that Elena is the guilty party here.
Why not?
I just don't.
I think Elena has gotten to him.
That was just great. I was growing less and less fond of the really intelligent weapon concept. Meanwhile, Elena was managing to hold Leia, April, and Wendy frozen while she dangled Sputnik in the air, well, the space, above her.
She has to be expending a lot of energy. She took our vehicle down from kilometers away. She's surviving on the moon without a moon suit. She convinced my gun not to shoot her, and she's holding up three other powerful Psys.
It's also got to be a killer to walk on this dusty, rocky surface with those heels on.
I shook my head.
I was a female for a while. I know these things.
My point is, she's not paying any attention to me.
This was one of those times when I needed to put all my gadgets away. I had to take Elena down the good old-fashioned way. Tackling her worked once before on the shuttle. I saw no reason not to go back and take another sip from the well. I pushed myself up quickly. A little too quickly.
Whoa.
Yeah, I forgot to take into account the moon's limited gravity. I started floating upward.
Not actually the fierce attack you were hoping for.
Making matters worse, Elena noticed me out of the corner of her eye.
Silly Zack.
She flicked a finger at me.
Whoa.
Her telekinetic wave launched me backwards, and I spun faster and faster away.
Oh, not one of your better moves.
As I spun, half of the time I saw the toxic waste dump coming closer and closer, while the other half of the time I saw Elena and the others getting farther and farther away. I had to do something to stop myself before I ended up barreling into the barrels of toxic waste. Of all the ways I could think of being killed, this ranked way low on my list, slightly above being audited to death.
God has condemned you, Zack. You're going to be the death of us both.
Suddenly I stopped. My body spun around and started floating back toward the brawl, and it had by that point become a brawl. Wendy and April had managed to get behind Elena. Wendy had her arms wrapped around Elena's legs. April was standing on top of her with her hands cuffed over Elena's temples. April was also arching backward and sending out deep messages to sleep. I was getting drowsy just watching from a distance. Leia was standing in front of a kneeling Sputnik, shielding him with her body. I watched a hovercraft come in for a landing less than 50 meters from the melee. Growing closer, I saw Carol, Melda, and three other blue-haired girls and at least 10 security apes and two battle bots rolling, in the bots' case, literally, out of the ship. The apes were in special heavy-duty armor. The bots had eight arms each and were the type made from reinforced plexus steel.
I dropped my guard because of you, Zack.
The apes formed a protective shield for Imelda, Carol, and the other Psys as they moved in on Elena. The two bots covered them all by firing energy blasts. Elena deflected the blasts around her, but every shot she repelled had to drain her more. Elena squeezed her fist, and the two battle bots shrank to the size of old-fashioned aluminum cans. They were ready for the recycle bin, but they'd done their job. I came to a stop less than 100 meters from the action. I had a ringside seat for the melee. Carol, Melda, and the other Psys were crackling with energy. For her part, Elena was glowing with power from every pore in her body. She was using this energy to fend off Carol and Melda's attacks, while at the same time lashing out at Sputnik with her own attacks. Leia, though, was using her energy to deflect Elena's mental blows. Meanwhile, April and Wendy maintained their holds on Elena. April was projecting thoughts of sleep that became so powerful a couple of the ape guards gave in and curled up on the ground and started napping. Wendy kept trying to place thoughts of confusion and doubt into Elena's mind. It was impressive that Elena could hold out this long against this sort of onslaught. And that wasn't even taking into account that she was surviving on the moon without a suit. She was starting to quiver, though. Not even she could hold up much longer. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed that Leia was no longer on the defensive. Carol, Melda, and the others' attacks had forced Elena to switch entirely to defense. This allowed Leia to create a ball of pulsing energy between her hands. I focused on Leia, standing bold and tall like a deity, an angry one. Stretching out her hands, she expanded the wad of energy. Leia spread her arms out as wide as they would go, then slammed her hands together. The energy hit Elena and sent April and Wendy hurling away, launching them about 100 meters from where they were hit. The energy engulfed Elena, encircling her entire body. She fell to the ground, fighting with every ounce of strength she had.
No!
While everybody else rushed to Boris's side, I hurried to Elena's. I bent down and felt for a carotid pulse. I found it. Elena had been nothing but trouble, and I knew she didn't deserve to die. She could have killed me on a number of occasions and didn't. I owed her something.
She's going to be all right, Tio. They want her alive.
Within nanos, the ape security team had placed a big metallic helmet, hand restraints, and leg chains on Elena. The helmet looked three times too big for her, and had multicolored flashing lights all around it. I assumed it was a Psy inhibitor, probably working by embarrassing its victims into submission. We all watched as the apes put her on a stretcher, then carted her away.
Oh, yuck. That helm so does not go with the rest of her outfit. Ugh, agreed.
Great job, my girls.
So, what do you do with her now?
That is none of your concern, Mr. Johnson.
I beg to differ. She could have killed me a couple of times now, and she hasn't. That makes her a person of interest to me. I gave Sputnik a little not-so-friendly jab with my finger. Suddenly, I felt myself disliking him more and more.
Whoa, Tio! Cool the warp drive!
Yes, Zack. You are standing on the surface of the moon. I would play nice.
I don't like him either, Mr. Zack.
Zack, please don't aggravate my father.
I backed away, just a little. I didn't trust Sputnik. The guy was covering something up. Well, of course he was covering something up. All politicians have something to sweep under the carpet. I had the impression, though, that Sputnik's carpet was extra bumpy. Where are they taking Elena?
She'll be taken to our Psy Center. She'll be given the best of care there. You can be sure of that.
Be calm, Tio. I've been to the center. It's top-notch.
She will be healed.
By healed, you better not mean lobotomized.
We don't...
We're only going to help her learn to control her vast power.
We do not hurt anybody, especially our own.
Remember, my sister, her mother, runs the place.
Remember, Elena led me to believe her mother was dead, so I think it's safe to assume they don't have the best of relationships.
Elena disowned her mother, Shara Lee, after Shara refused to blame poor Bo for Elena's father's, Mo's, death. But her mother never turned her back on her. A mother's love is unconditional.
I looked back at Sputnik. I still wasn't sure why I despised him more than usual, but I kind of liked the feeling. It should have worried me, but it didn't. How do we know Sputnik had nothing to do with Mo's death?
I lost a part of myself when my twin brother died.
I assure you, Mr. Johnson, my husband, Boris, had nothing to gain by killing his own brother, Morris.
Of course. Just because he had nothing to gain didn't mean he didn't do it. Human nature is a strange beast, and there's nothing natural about it. Still, it was time to do a little reevaluating. I flew back to the base and our hotel with Kara, Melda, and Leia. Now that Elena was apprehended and under control, Sputnik apparently didn't feel the need to travel with Leia by his side. That was good. It gave me a chance to feel out Leia without her dad and leader around. It's hard enough to speak freely in your dad's presence when he's just your dad. It must be exponentially tougher when your dad is your boss and leader of the colony you live in. While I talked with the ladies, I had Harv run background checks on Bo's brother. I learned his given name was Ivan, but he changed it to Morris and preferred to be called Mo. He helped engineer a lot of the side breakthroughs the moon has experienced. I decided to start there.
So, Bo's brother Mo was quite the scientist.
Yes, he didn't have my husband's gift of gab, but he was gifted in the lab.
In many ways, it's like they were mirror twins. What one was weak in, the other one was strong in. Not that Daddy was weak in anything, let me rephrase that. What one just wasn't quite as strong in, the other one was extra strong in.
So they got along?
Not really.
They were brothers. They'd compete over everything.
At least they were smart enough to marry identical twins, or else they never would have been able to settle on who married the best-looking woman.
Yes, it's the only time they ever agreed to a draw in their lives. If not, they would have driven each other crazy.
And why are you so certain Bo wouldn't kill Mo?
My husband thought Mo pushed him, made him better. He hasn't been the same since Mo died.
I know Daddy's an administrator and politician, and therefore there isn't much he wouldn't do. Trust me, Zach, this is the one thing he wouldn't do. Kill his brother. He had nothing to gain.
What about Elena?
I wouldn't rule out her killing her father and blaming poor Bo.
No, I mean, would Bo try to eliminate Mo to get to Elena?
I don't think anybody can control Elena.
Yeah, but if anybody thought they could, it would be Bo.
Why would he need to control Elena? He already has me. You saw how easily I took my cousin out when I needed to.
You and a small army of sais and apes.
You're just lucky I like you. Or you'd be cleaning the moon dust off my shoes with your tongue right now.
I locked eyes with Leia. Yeah, I get that a lot. My point still stands.
Zach, are you sure you know what you're doing?
Leia looked up at the stars in the sky.
Earthers, you all think you know it all.
I just know what I saw. It looks like it takes a bunch of you to equal one Elena.
Her golden skin turned bright red. It didn't look right. Not right at all. That meant I was onto something. So I dug in deeper.
I guess her dad must have given her more mojo than you.
We are entirely equal!
Leia, calm, please.
Leia sat back in her chair, closing her eyes.
I'm fine.
She pulled her legs up and curled them under her.
I'm fine. See, Zachary, my cousin and I share power, not personality.
I understand.
The thing I understood was that Leia was far more like her cousin, who was actually her genetic sister, than she wanted to believe. That made her another person of interest to me. The dome of the colony was now clearly in view. I was anxious to end this excursion. Entering the dome, I looked down and noticed everybody was looking up. Gazing upward, I saw the entire dome was acting as a giant movie screen. It didn't take long to figure out why everyone was so interested. The message, "Earth to vote tomorrow on Moon Freedom," was scrolling across the dome. Didn't matter where you looked, you saw the same message. Our transport landed and shifted into ground-based mode. As we drove through the streets, they were buzzing with anticipation. They were all thinking that tomorrow could be it. Tomorrow could be the day they were free at last, free at last. I wasn't picking that wording. That message was scrolling across the dome in huge letters. Leia and Melda were both gently touching their pi-hi pods, putting them closer to their ears as if to give themselves more privacy. They were listening intently. I glanced around at everybody else gazing upward.
Harv, how is the council pulling off a vote so soon after losing three members?
They have replaced the three already.
With who?
With whom?
Just tell me.
Well, one of them is easy.
Ona.
Ona happily accepted. It makes sense, since the world looks up to her anyhow.
They only look up to her because she's rich, powerful, and beautiful, not because she's meant to be a leader.
That makes her far more qualified than 99.99999% of the others elected to positions of power in the history of history.
Who are the other two?
You know them.
Do I know them, or know of them?
You know them, but not in the biblical sense, because, well, Electra would kill you.
I had an idea where Harv was going with this, but I was afraid to ask. It couldn't be. What I was thinking made absolutely no sense.
The other two council members are Tua and Thria.
At that, everybody else turned their attention to me.
Yes, how did you know that so soon?
Remember, where I go, Harv goes. He's like a pi-hi pod, but better.
Much better. I've just updated Zach on the situation.
two and three. That makes no sense.
Zach, we're talking politics. The less sense something makes, the more likely it is to happen.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like Tua and Thria. I mean, what sane man wouldn't? They're each drop-dead beautiful. Literally. Trust me, it's happened. And certainly have their own strengths. But they're also loons. I didn't think Sais were allowed to be on the council.
That's true. It's unfair, but true.
Technically, Una, Tua, and Thria aren't Sais, as they were genetically altered, not born that way.
There's a difference?
No, not really, just technically.
Tua and Thria are interesting choices. The council must have thought...
The words council and thought aren't usually spoken in the same sentence.
I'm downloading the official press release now. It states they are already super powerful superstars who have conquered everything else. Politics was the next logical step.
Politics and logic aren't ever mentioned in the same sentence either.
Their appointments are only temporary. There will be elections next month. Anybody who chooses may run against them.
Tua, politician. Her crime fighting causes as much trouble as it solves.
Part of the deal was she gives up crime fighting except on the weekends.
And Thria? She doesn't even claim to live in this plane of existence. Just a couple of days ago, wasn't she being accused of not paying her taxes?
True. Apparently politicians, unlike scorned lovers, have very short memories. She agreed to pay those taxes.
Sexy was afraid of Thria. She could very well be a suspect in the killings.
I didn't know Thria was ever a suspect.
She was never a real suspect. At least not in the eyes of the council and the law.
She sent ogres to shake down Sexy.
Really? How sub-zero?
Zach, you brokered an end to that dispute yourself. You've talked to Thria since then. You know she didn't kill the council members.
I don't like the idea of Thria on the World Council.
Nobody asked for your approval.
I don't like that either. We pulled off to the hotel. I figured no good would come from me further pointing out how no good could come from the Thompson girls dip into politics. Thanks for the trip, ladies.
It was our pleasure.
Melda glanced over at Leia. She was sitting next to us, but she might as well have been on another planet. In another galaxy. Melda nudged her daughter in the ribs with an elbow.
Huh? Oh! Yes, a pleasure as always.
I quickly got out of the car, hurried around it, and opened Carol's door for her.
And they say chivalry is dead.
Nope, just on life support. I looked into the shuttle. I'm sure I'll see you ladies later.
Beau would like to invite you for dinner tonight at the head administrator's home.
I hesitated. Part of me was sick of Beau and his Psy ladies. I needed a break. The other part of me, the business part, knew I should stay close to Beau. They were making my job easy by inviting me.
Of course Zach will accept.
Splendid. Then let's say 1900 hours, standard moon time.
We'll be there. Then tomorrow morning I can see Electra?
Of course.
See you tonight then. Cal and I started into the hotel. I heard one of the shuttle doors close behind us. I winced. That could only mean I didn't close the door properly the first time, or that somebody else had gotten out of the car. I knew it had to be the second.
Wait a nano, please.
I hate it when I'm right. Against my better judgment, I turned. Leia had popped out of the shuttle and was heading toward us. My first instinct was to run. I fought that. If I've learned anything over the course of my career, it's that life is much easier when the superwomen are on your side. You don't want to piss off somebody who can melt you with a thought. Yes, Leia? She held out her hand to me. I accepted it.
I'd better walk you to your rooms.
I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself.
Plus, he has me.
Yes, but you're on my world now. I feel I would be amiss if I didn't bodyguard you myself.
Fine. Lead the way. Leia entered the hotel with us in tow. I looked around the hotel's lobby. It was big, inviting, and quite empty. As we walked through the lobby to the elevator, Carol picked up on my vibe.
Why is the place so empty?
Remember, due to the Ark Convention, the moon is closed to Earth travel.
I would still have thought there'd be a few leftover Earthers around.
We reached the elevator. Leia pushed a button. She turned to Carol.
You thought wrong.
Carol's eyes glazed over.
Yes, I thought wrong.
When the elevator doors opened, Leia walked in, and I followed. Carol just stood there.
Come.
Carol trailed us in.
I assume you're going to the suite section.
Correct.
I grabbed Leia by the arm. Not too hard, just enough so she knew I meant business. What's the deal with minesweeping Carol?
Stop.
But we are between floors.
I know. Now stop or I will fry your circuits.
I prepared to go for my gun.
No need for your weapon. If I wanted to hurt you, you'd be a pile of dust right now.
Yeah, she and Elena were related, all right. So what's this all about? Leia smiled. She gave me a dismissive touch on the shoulder. I'm sorry to say it. It worked. The ice melted.
It took all my strength not to drop to my back with my legs raised in the air. The smile on her face froze, then reversed.
Hoth, are you still with me?
I've blocked the connection you have with your computer via your brain and shut down your communicator.
Not a good sign, but I didn't mind.
You know Ona, Tua, and Thria?
I had to play this one coy. Well, I didn't have to, I wanted to. I didn't eat Leia thinking she could have her way with me.
Don't play coy with me, Zack. I know you have them on your friends list. If that's how you want to play it.
I watched in horror as the holographic numbers over the door dropped from 40s almost instantly to 30, then the 20s. I braced myself against the wall.
I'm familiar with them.
See, that wasn't so hard. I could have ripped it out of your mind, but I need your mind in one piece.
Warning! Warning! My system was offline. I detected we have dropped 33 floors from my last known position. Are all my passengers okay? Your safety is important to me, and not just because of potential lawsuits.
We're fine, elevator.
It doesn't hurt to be in good speaking terms with the three most powerful women on the planet.
On your planet?
I don't think this is about who's more powerful than who.
You're right. For now, it isn't. You need to convince them to vote for the moon's freedom, and they need to convince others.
I don't think those three women can be convinced of anything. After saying that, I was starting to see why they just might be perfect for politics.
For the sake of everybody on Earth, I hope you are wrong. Talk to them. Make them see the light, or else the dark will soon follow.
The elevator came to a halt. The door opened. We were at my suite. Carol came around. Harv came back online.
I will see you at dinner. I hope you will have some good news for me.
I'll see what I can do. Carol and I walked out of the elevator.
What was that all about?
Leia wants me to relay a message that I'm a little teapot short and stout.
Why does Leia want you to tell people that?
That's not what I wanted to say. But if I try to say, I'm a little teapot short and stout...
Leia must have put a mental block in you, preventing you from telling us what she told you.
Duh.
No need to get snippy. Really, Zack, it's not our fault you get yourself into such problems.
Carol and I looked at each other. Carol almost always looked like she came from a fashion shoot. Every hair, every lash, everything just where it should be. Not at this moment, though. She wasn't exactly disheveled, but far closer to it than I'd ever seen her.
Why are you looking at me? I look terrible, don't I?
Not terrible, just not as good as usual.
Do you need me for anything now?
I do, but you can't be much help since I break into song whenever I try to explain what's going on.
So you don't mind if I go shower?
Sounds like a plan.
I'll see you in an hour.
She turned and headed toward her room. Take two. I needed to communicate with Ona. The problem was, even with Carol in her room, Harv was still going to be able to hear me. Harv couldn't just go to his room. He, for better or for worse, and in this case it seemed to be extra worse, was a part of me.
We still have a problem, don't we?
Yeah, I need to communicate with somebody Earthside, but without you hearing it. Can you turn yourself off, like Leia did to you?
No, I can't. That was quite an unpleasant experience, just floating around in a matrix of ones and zeros, me and my thoughts.
What if I shock myself?
That would break our link until I rebooted.
What's up? I detect no danger.
I need you to shock me. I'm serious.
Zack, sir, I am not programmed to help you be masochistic.
That's not it. I need to take Harv offline for a bit.
Why?
It's not your job to question me, Gus.
True. How many volts do you need?
Harv?
Oh, let's say 5,000. That should do the trick. With my defenses down, that should knock me out for 3 minutes.
I lifted Gus up with my left hand. Okay, I'm ready. Gus, shock me, then turn yourself off. Gus?
Are you sure about this, Mr. Zack, sir?
I'm sure.
Without Harv and me, and with Carol resting, you will be defenseless if gorillas attack again.
Believe me, Gus, I took care of myself for a long time without you, Harv, or Carol.
Yes, it's a wonder he survived.
Remember, I have my backup gun and a knife in ankle holsters.
You have a knife fetish, don't you?
Just do it, Gus! I pushed myself up to one knee. Harv? I stood up and walked over to the call button on the wall. I pressed it. The holographic image of the hotel's customer assistance aide appeared in the middle of the room. It was no surprise that she was a pretty blue-haired Asian-looking woman in her mid-20s.
Yes, Mr. Johnson. How may I help you?
She leaned forward, examining my image more closely.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I glanced at my own image in a mirror on the wall. My hair was standing on edge. I'm experimenting with a new hair gel.
I can see why you wear that fedora so often. How may I assist you? Should I send up a nice massage therapist? Hair consultant?
I need to place a holocall Earthside.
I'm sorry, sir, but communications with Earth are currently being restricted.
She looked down and touched her pie-high pod. Then she looked up at me.
I seem to be mistaken. You are cleared for your call. Whom do you wish to speak to?
If I'm cleared, you know who I need to contact.
I am placing the call now to Ms. Thompson. I cannot guarantee I will get through. She is an important woman, and I am a lowly customer support specialist from the moon.
Just drop my name. The image of the cute little customer support specialist in a lobby morphed into a bikini-clad, or more like unclad, Ona sitting by her pool. The hollow image pants revealed that Tua and Thria were also poolside, equally unclad, except for Tua, who had her high-heeled boots on. It made for an interesting look. I liked it, despite my best efforts not to.
Hello, Zach.
I had to give the MoonTech workers credit. The surround hologram was excellent. I felt like I could reach out and touch the ladies. But considering who I was dealing with, that would have been a good way to lose an arm or a leg. Or something else.
Greetings, Zachary.
Fellow comrade against crime and evil, it's been too long.
Why the boots by the pool, Tua?
Because you never know when evil will raise its ugly, toothless head.
I thought you were only fighting evil on weekends now.
She just hasn't taken those boots off all week. If she removed them now, she'd incapacitate all of the help.
And probably wilt the nearby flora and knock low-flying birds out of the sky.
My sisters kid me so. We wish.
As fascinating as the conversation was, I know I didn't have much time to get things back on track.
Ladies, I need a favor from you.
They all looked at me.
Actually, it's a favor for the entire world.
You've got our attention, Zach.
Well, it's really a favor for both the Earth and the Moon.
What's this about, Zach?
The vote tomorrow on the Moon's freedom. I think you should convince the others to set the Moon free.
Zach, I didn't know you were a Moonie.
I'm not. I just think the people of the Moon should be free.
Why?
I agree. I believe all people should be free.
I'm on the moon now.
Yes, we know. We accepted the call. We found your timing to be incredible, as always. What are you doing on the moon?
I'm tracking the person who killed the council members.
We already have moon sympathizer Shannon Cannon in prison.
Talk to Captain Ricky. There's evidence that Shannon isn't responsible.
We've seen that evidence. We've decided it's not credible.
Why isn't it credible?
Because we don't like it. It would just get the public all riled up.
True. No use having the little people think needlessly.
They only need to know what we think they need to know.
I'm worried about the safety of the Earth if you don't at the very least put off the vote. Give me a little more time.
Please. What could the little moon do to us? Besides, Zach, we don't give in to terrorists or threats.
I've seen some of the size here. They really are incredibly powerful. If the Earth and Moon got together more, think of the advances we could make.
Of course they're powerful. Their second generations are modeled after us.
What?
We visited the moon 18 years ago and sold them some of our DNA.
Why?
We wanted to see the moon, and they made us a great offer. We couldn't refuse it. At the time, we were only mega-rich, not ultra-mega-rich.
Well, in that case, all the more reason why you should promote better communication with the moon.
We're all for communication with the moon, just under our rules.
Come on, Ona. You're supposed to be super intelligent. You know only trouble can come from that.
Zach, even if they could hurt us, we don't negotiate because of threats.
How about doing it because it's the right thing to do?
Take the moral high ground? Interesting.
You call yourself super beings.
We are super beings. You fought side by side with me, Zach.
Then act like super beings.
You would not use that tone if you were on the same planet with us.
Maybe not. But you know I'm right. You claim to be superior.
We don't claim. We are superior. Some things are so obvious they don't need to be claimed.
Then act it. Give the moon a break. Either vote for freedom or at least hold off the vote. Open up a dialogue with them. Talk is good. The three of them just sat there, pondering the possibilities. Now I had them thinking it was time to go for the finishing blow. I needed to appeal to their supersized egos. This could be your legacy, ladies. Anybody can have superpowers. But how many can free over 1 million people?
We can be like super sexy Lincolns.
True.
I think Lincoln was pretty sexy.
Oh, gross.
I just love that hat.
He was tall. I do like tall men. They're more durable. Maybe we should look into having him cloned and joining us in the World Council. Kennedy had a great look. I bet we
so
could...
So you ladies will do it?
We'll take it under consideration.
Remember, the DNA you free may be some of your own.
You made your point, Zach. We'll try.
try hard.
Wow, not many people talk to Una like that.
Yeah, luckily I'm on another planet. Wait, you were listening?
Of course I was listening.
I was listening too.
I thought you guys couldn't listen in without me breaking into song.
We figured Leia put a mental block in you to make you break into song if you thought you were talking in front of others.
So the shock didn't break our link?
If you didn't believe it, then it wouldn't have worked.
You could have shocked me with less voltage.
True.
Harf turned away and looked at a holographic clock on the wall. He pointed at it, just in case I hadn't noticed.
I suggest you clean and rest up for your dinner tonight. It should prove most interesting.
That's easy for you to say. You're not the one always getting beat up.
How true.
He disappeared to wherever Harf goes.
Carol, you were a part of this?
Harf told me the idea. I couldn't see any other way. At least I got them to lower the voltage.
Gee, thanks.
I'm pretty sure either Elena or Leia killed those council people.
Yeah.
That's all you've got? A yeah?
Yeah, they're at the top of my list. But I'm not ready to go pointing fingers yet.
Carol was young, smart, and beautiful, but she was still impetuous. She tended to jump, then think. Many years and almost as many broken bones have taught me to slow down. I may still jump, then think, but now at least I hesitate before I leap. Elena and Leia were the prime suspects, but the case was far from closed, since though the two shared some power and DNA, their motives would be at the opposite ends of the scale. I needed to learn what they would each expect to gain by killing the council members. Plus, there are times when the murderer is someone you never expected until it's almost too late. It can be the loving wife or the devoted schoolmarm.
We both better prepare for this dinner tonight. It's gonna be interesting.